We're thankful this morning to be in the house of God. And good to see so many in the audience this morning. I want to say to those who are visiting with us, you're experiencing New Testament pattern of worship, where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments or music, and we will pray, and we will take a collection and play. We'll go around once. Amen. We'll take the communion every Sunday. Every first day of the week, we will drink of the blood. And you're here to preach word from the Word of God, the Bible. That's who we are in the churches of Christ. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. How many of y'all believe the Bible is right?
Amen.
Amen. That's the roadmap to heaven. It's believer's instructions before life ends. If before you die, you should believe in this book, because this book gives us information and no man has come back from the grave to tell us wrong. Therefore, we believe it's right, and all of it is right. Every Amen. Word of the Bible is right. And so for those who are not visiting with us, we believe that Jesus did hang on that cross in Calvary's Hill, in Jerusalem on Calvary's Hill. And there he was crucified, shed his blood that purchased his church, his wife, his bride. She wears his name as the Church of Christ. That's the one in the Bible. And that same blood washed your sins away if you were washed in it in baptism. But Jesus commanded that one must be baptized for the forgiveness of the sins. And that's what we believe as well. And then you receive the Holy Spirit, Lord, add you to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. And then you worship according to the New Testament pattern of worship. That's what we're doing this morning. Good to see all our friends and family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good to see my brother Burton in the audience and others who are here to support us this week. And we had a great giveaway yesterday, a great outreach to our community. And it was successful, and thanks to all the servants here who made it happen.
Amen.
A lot of work went into doing that. So this morning, I wanted to bring a simple lesson. You know, it's so many things going on in the world. Wow, when you look at the news and think of how a man can molest his little girl, or how families are so dysfunctional and falling apart, marriage is in trouble. Family is in trouble. Mass shootings. When men can just walk into a Walmart and just slaughter people. You wonder what's going on. Full term abortion. What is the problem? The problem is not Republican or Democrat or Trump. The problem that we face as mankind is sin.
Amen.
And so this is man's greatest problem. And I have a PowerPoint this morning. I'm just going to basically show you the problem we all have. All of us are a problem when we got sin in our lives. We are the world's problem. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the Bible teaches us that in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all sinners. Therefore, we're all a part of the world's problem. In Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short. For the wages of sin
is death.
Is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life.
Eternal life.
Through Jesus Christ.
The wages of sin is death. What does that mean? Death is a separation. When a body dies, the spirit separates from the body. Therefore, we call that body a dead man. Sin separates man from God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is your heaven that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated from you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you
that he will not hear.
Listen carefully. The first problem we must all recognize is if you believe the Bible, you can no longer believe in a sinner's prayer, because the Bible clearly teaches that sin separates man from God, and that separation brings about a spiritual death. Therefore, the human being cannot pray to God when sin is separating him from God. In John chapter 9 and verse number 31.
Now
the Bible
we know.
Says this man was blind and this man had been healed by Jesus. And they called Jesus a sinner. And the blind man knew Old Testament. He knew Isaiah had said, God hear not sinners. So he comes back and he tells them, now we know
that God hear
from
not
the Old
sinners.
Testament that God hear not sinners.
But if any
man be a worshipful of God and doeth his will, him he hear. So this blind man was saying, no, Jesus couldn't have been a sinner because we know that God hear it not sinners. When we know God hear not sinners, the problem we must all face and we must all accept as those of us who believe the Bible is that when you're living in sin, when you have the sin problem corrected, it doesn't matter whether you get down on your knees or not. God says he will not hear. That's problem number one. So we all are sinners. He will not hear the sinner. That's pretty clear. So who does God hear? Now, when I was growing up, I grew up in the Baptist church, wonderful people in the Baptist church, nothing against them, all good people. But we were told by the reverends, which if they believed the Bible, they would say, Holy Reverend is God's name. They were never told to call him reverend anyway, if they believed the Bible. But we were told, and unfortunately, many of my family members that were told this, what they must do to be saved was to pray the sinner's prayer. But brothers, sisters, friends, don't die believing that. Because the Bible is clearly saying, God hear not sinners. So who does God hear? In 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse number 12, For the eyes of the Lord
are over the righteous.
Over who?
The righteous.
The righteous. And his ears are open to their prayers. There it is. In your Bible, you can read who God hears. Now, here's the problem. If you don't believe the Bible, this won't help you. But if you believe the Bible, get up, stop praying. Until you get the sin out your life, God says, I will not hear. But there is a group that he will hear. The eyes of the Lord are over those who are called righteous. Now, this is not a guy who righteousness don't mean you walk around with a robe on and a big cross around your neck, holding your hand and walking holy. That's not what righteousness is. Righteousness is not a halo over your head and you appear and everybody else is a sinner. No, that's not who righteous people is. Righteous people are people who have obeyed God. Sinners must obey God to become what God calls righteous or right in the eyesight of God. Listen to the Bible in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Listen to the Bible. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, and verse 16.
Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself service to obey.
Now here's the righteous person. The righteous person simply obey God. The problem with the sinner is not that he or she can't become righteous, but they choose to obey whomever they obey. Listen to the Bible now. He says what?
His servants are to whom ye obey.
Whoever you obey is who you serve. You don't have two options though.
Whether of sin or to death.
I hate to drop this on you like this, but either you're serving the devil or you're serving God. You can't. Amen. There's no in between. That's what we want. That feels a lot better, doesn't it? But the Bible is saying clearly that the sinner and the righteous man are serve whomever they choose to obey. Whether sin
unto death.
Unto death. Now that sin unto death is that spiritual separation from God. Or obedience
unto righteousness.
So they can obey and become righteous. Listen to it.
But God be thanked.
But God be thanked.
That you were, that the you were of sin.
Past tense. See, the sinner can have a past tense. He were the servant of sin.
But you obeyed from the heart
that form of doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. So the teaching that we must obey, we know it as the Bible. The book in the Bible don't say Bible. That means a library of books. So there's a library of books, and we know it as God's word, and that God's word is called doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. So the sinner must be taught from the word of God what God want him or her to do to become righteous. It's real simple. If we don't read the Bible, we cannot know what God want us to do to become a righteous man or woman. The problem I had growing up, and many people today have, is that we don't read the Bible. Amen. What the problem we have is that we listen to men who call themselves clergy or reverend or father, and they don't teach the truth. That's this afternoon. There's a great departure this afternoon sermon. But we listen to me rather than the God. If we listen to God, no one could tell us, Billy Graham, no one is big enough to say to us that God can hear a sinner when God says, I hear not a sinner. Who are we?
Amen.
To believe a man over God. Well, the only reason we would do that is because we don't read doctrine. We don't read the Bible. If we read the Bible, who does God hear? If we read and believe the Bible, who does God hear? They're called who?
The righteous.
It's just that simple. So how can I, the preacher, now say, well, repeat after me the sinner's prayer? That's not in the Bible, nowhere. The world needs to hear this lesson.
Amen.
America needs to hear this word, this lesson. Denomination needs to hear this lesson. All these good people are listening to the doctrines of men. So, if we look at the problem is what?
Sin.
What is that problem doing? Separating us from God. What does that mean? I'm dead with no relationship with God. I'm considered a dead sinner. That problem number one. The problem number two is that here's what we all got to understand. That just, if you just listen carefully, you can hear the rolling of the wheels and the mourners in the street. Your hearse is on the way. What do you say, Brother Brooks? Your hearse is on the way. And the mourners are on standby. What does that mean? You and I are going to die. Problem two. Jesus says this. I go my way. That's heaven. You shall seek me. I'm in John 8:21.
Then said Jesus again unto them,
I go my way. You shall seek
me. You shall seek me.
He said, I'm going to heaven. You're going to want to come to heaven where I'm at.
And shall die in your sins.
But here, and die in your sins.
Whether I go,
you
cannot come.
Not go to heaven if you die in your sins. Homegoing celebrations are just fun. Let me see it. It's just fun. No one go to heaven who die in their sins. Funerals ought not to be fun when somebody die in their sin. When I grew up, every funeral I went to, now some of you all think back. I got people like John B., all the people out of Hemp Hill here in the audience, and I know where I grew up, and I guarantee all of us can tell you this truth. I do not remember a funeral that wasn't a homegoing celebration. I can't tell you one of my family members that they didn't tell us. They up there now. Look at him. He up there at the gate. He with mama. Mama saved me a seat. I can see him now. I know you. Now, we all know that he was drinking and everything. We know that. But he accepted Jesus at an early age. He accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. And he accepted him in his heart. And we know now he's up there with the Lord. To be absent from the body is present from the Lord. Let's get together now. All right, now. We're on our way to heaven. It's a homegoing celebration. Oh, praise the mighty name of Jesus. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I want to show you that feasting is never what God wanted at a funeral. Now, I'm talking about me. You talk about your family. I'm just saying, I never saw that. Maybe you did. I know some of my friends and family who we know they were drunk the night they got killed. Got killed in their car wreck in Hempel, Texas. Drunkenness is a sin. Never went to church. Cursed and was a fighter. But when he got killed in his car wreck that night, and you go to the church where I told y'all I went to, it was Baptist. Good people. But now, don't you talk about me, my family. I get to do that. You don't get to do that. You talk about yours. You don't get to talk about my Baptist family because that's my people. I get to talk about them, so you just stay away from that. And say, well, yeah, but it wasn't, you know, something wrong with that picture. And the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, listen to what the Bible says here.
A good name is better than precious ornament.
Read.
And the day of death.
Now, God said the day of death is better
than the day of one's birth.
So we have birthday parties. That's when we party on a birthday. But God said, hey, look here, the death day is better than the birthday. So y'all keep on counting and celebrating, blowing out the candles. God is saying the day of death is better than the day you were born. Listen to him now.
It is better to go to the house of mourning.
Now, he said, now, when we call a funeral, Bible calls it a house of mourning. He said, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. So he wasn't thinking about no funeral being no place where everybody's feasting at right about then. He got death as a purpose. Look what he says it is.
For that is the end of all men.
Death is the end of all men. Read.
And the living will lay it.
And when we go to a funeral and see a dead body in the coffin, we then start laying it to our hearts that, man, one thing about it, I got to go that way too. The purpose of a funeral, as we call it, the Bible calls it the house of mourning, but God said, I bring death into the lives of those who are living. He brings death for you to know and I to know that your wagon train is coming. The hearse is on the way. You better be crying a little bit. So once you go into the state of mourning, you're in a better place. Then feasting. See, when people get up and start clapping, they ain't thinking about dying. They think about, we partying now. He's on his way. You done bought into that foolishness. You've been beguiled and bewitched to believe that everybody die, go to heaven. It's not true. Jesus said, if you die high in your sins,
where I am,
you cannot
come.
Yeah, I want the young folk, I want the teenagers to hear this too. Because we burying our teenagers in numbers. And you young adults who are just out there committing spiritual suicide. You in and out of the church, in and out of the clubs, in and out of the church. At some point, you better hear the wagon. It's turning. It's on the way. And then those of us who are middle-aged, by the time you get 40, you ought to be trying to start correct some things. You're on your way up and then down, right?
Amen.
Then you get to the seniors in your 60s and 70s. You ain't got no time to play. You say, what, Brother Brooks? I'm just saying. If God done gave you 60 to 70 years, my friend, no disrespect. You too old to be acting up.
Amen.
I don't mean that this years, but I would just tell you like my mama would say. The truth sometimes need to be told. That really, how is it that you stand there and you ain't trying to get sin out of your life? Really? We'll get back to chapter 7. Sorrow
is better than laughter.
See, he don't want us laughing at the funeral. He wants us in sorrow.
For really? By the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better.
When we are sad, we're in a better place to receive the truth about what we must do to prevent dying in our sin. That's all he's saying. So death is in God is saying, listen here. What I want you to understand is that when somebody died, ain't no time to laugh. You better be thinking about you going to die too. Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but boy, realistically thinking, if everybody go home and look at their family portrait, I don't know who is next. And the face gonna fade. When I look at mine, my wife was the first face in my picture of my family. My little brother was in my mom and daddy's family. The youngest went in ours. Is our family any different from your family?
No.
Ask yourself, who was the first face that faded? And then ask, who's next? And then ask, if I'm next, do I have this problem? Because I got a problem that, number one, God will not hear my prayer. Number two, I can't go to heaven with this sin issue. And if I know that, then I got to move. What is it that's going to correct it? Well, forgiveness is available for every one of us. It's available. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him should not perish. It's not shall not. When I was growing up, we quoted that scripture, shall not. That book don't say shall not. That's the poor sinner's prayer. The sinner prayer teaches that all you got to do is believe and accept Jesus your personal Savior. So they misquoted the scripture. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believed in him gave his only begotten son to whosoever believed in him. We said shall not perish. It don't say shall not. It says should not perish. The sinner should not perish based on God's love for him or her, but have eternal life. So God, did God say, no, I'm not going to hear you because I don't love you? That's not what he said. He said, God said, I so love the world that I done something for the sinner. What did you do, Lord? I gave my only begotten son. And he gave his son so they going to have to believe something. Whosoever believe in him, believe what? In Mark 16:15-16, Jesus, when he resurrected from the grave, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and notice baptized. He said, the one that's going to be saved must believe the gospel and be baptized to be saved. So the question we got to ask ourselves, if I got to believe the gospel, what is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4 teaches us what the gospel is. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, he said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you,
wherein you stand,
by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Now, watch, Paul said, I preached the gospel, and you must remember what I preached to you. That is that.
For I delivered unto you first.
First thing you must hear in the gospel is that how Christ
died
for our
sins.
He died for our
sins.
What's the problem?
Sins.
What did he die for?
Sins.
Who died for sin?
Christ died for our sins
according to the scripture. And that he was buried.
That he rose again the third day.
According to the gospel, the story of God, the Father's love for the world of sinners, that he gave his son. His son came to this world. He didn't just die calm death. No, he had to go through 6 trials a night. He was beaten brutally with a whip. Amen. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They spit on God's son. They slapped God's son. They took him, put a robe robe on him. After they beat God's son, he was bloody from the whipping. God's son died. His son was whipped. God loved the sinners. He let them beat his child. He let them slap his child. He let them spit on his child. He put a tree on his child's back. He went up a hill called Calvary, and God on that hill allowed his son to be executed by crucifixion. Nails in his hand, nails in his feet, 6 hours on the cross, suffocating. He was sorry. He was in sorrow. He was in pain. He was in agony. It was an ugly cross. It was a bloody cross. I ask preachers sometimes, at least check his blood sugar. What do you mean by that, brother? Say something about his blood. That's where the power was at. We preach Christ and him crucified. He's a Savior who went through pain and shame. Who gonna believe the report Isaiah said? Who would believe they could beat him like that? Who would believe God could love the world, that he would let his child go through that? Who can believe this? So then Jesus gets up from grace and said, go tell him. Go to the world. Tell the people that my Father loved them, that I gave my life for them. I suffered for them. Tell them greater love had no man than this. And he laid down his life for his friends.
Amen.
This is what the world of sinners must hear. And he resurrected. When he got up, that he said, go preach that gospel. That gospel is something must be obeyed. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3.
Know ye not.
He said, know ye not.
That so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
Now listen to
into
him.
Death.
He's paralleling. We're buried with them. So in baptism, you're buried with Christ. Read.
That like as Christ was raised
just like
from the
Christ
dead,
resurrected from the dead
by the glory of the Father,
by the glory of the Father,
even
so,
we also
should rise to
in
walk
in the newness of life.
So the sinner is dead. Separated from God, we bury that sinner in baptism, and then that sinner comes up righteous. What happened in baptism? Why is it that he or she is now considered righteous? Now remember, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. So what I'm telling you, this is the state you want to die in. You want to die a righteous man or woman. And it happens after you obey the gospel. So how is it that obeying the gospel, what is it about baptism that's obedience to God? What happens in baptism? Well, in Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter preached to the very people who killed Jesus himself. He said in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified,
both
Lord
and Christ.
When they heard
this,
it was a sin to kill Jesus. You know that, right? They know they in sin. They killed Jesus. When they heard this, they asked Peter in
their
heart. They were pricked in their heart and added Peter and the rest of the apostles.
Men and brethren, what shall we do?
This is what you should be asking this morning. Brother, what do I need to do to get this thing out of my life? Peter told them what?
Peter said unto them, repent.
Repent, first of all. Change your mind. I don't want to die in my sins. I need God hearing my prayer. You need to repent. In other words, you need to change your mind about the way you're living and give your life to the Lord. You're not going to be perfect, but you got to start somewhere. Where's baptism is where you start. Peter said, repent, both of you.
Every one of you
got to repent. You got to make a decision. And he said, be baptized.
Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ,
for
the remission of sin.
There it is. What is baptism for? It's
remission of sin.
Now, if you understand, if you get stage 4 cancer, you want to get that thing into remission. You right? Sin is cancer to the soul. And you got to put it in remission. And the doctor said, hey, you got to get the first chemotherapy. The first thing we got to do to keep this deadly disease from killing you is to put it in remission. God said sin is your cancer, and baptism puts it in remission. And it has to stay in remission, or it will come back. It's no once saved, always saved. Listen to the Bible.
Verse.
He said, for the remission of sins shall see the gift,
of the Holy Ghost.
The only thing that comes, the gift that comes with the Holy Ghost is salvation, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. You cannot go to heaven without the Spirit. And that happens in baptism. Now look, what's in the water? What will wash away these sins? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, everybody say it with me, and washed us, let's say it together, and washed us
from our sins
in his own blood. Washed in blood. I don't see no blood. You didn't see no Jesus on the cross. Our faith don't come by what we see. Our faith come by what we read. We read that blood is going to wash away our sins. So whose blood is it? Jesus' blood. When did he shed it? On the cross. So now that we know that, if the blood is going to wash away our sins, the only other question we have is, when do I contact the blood? Acts 22:16, Ananias went up to Saul. The apostle Paul, his name was Saul before he became Paul. Paul was a chief of sinners, and the chief is down praying. God hear not who?
Sinners.
God hear not who? So if the chief is down, the chief is trying to pray. God sends Ananias to him. Ananias is the preacher of truth. Ananias says,
and now why tarry
to
thou?
Saul,
and now why chief, tarry thou?
If anybody should have prayed, the chief ought to be able to pray. The chief, the preacher, come to him and say, arise.
Arise and be baptized.
What are you waiting on, Paul?
Arise and be baptized.
Get up.
And be baptized.
Because praying won't save you. Get up. Be
baptized. And wash away thy
sin. That word is again, wash.
Away thy sin.
Be baptized. Say it with me. Wash.
Wash.
Blood, wash.
Away thy sin.
Blood, wash. What wash? When? When you get baptized. Ain't that clear? Now watch the power of prayer come with it. Calling.
On the name of the Lord.
Once the sins go, then the righteous man can call on the name of the Lord. However, I must drop this on you. Human beings can't pray to God. Give Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You receive the Holy Spirit under the water, and the Holy Spirit is the reason sinners can't pray, because they don't have the Spirit of God. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, the book says what?
Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmity.
The Spirit helps our infirmity, our weaknesses. Read.
For we know not what we should pray for.
We don't know how to pray to God. Y'all be praying for mansions and Mercedes Benz and $1 million. You don't know what you need. You don't know that he's going to avoid the car wreck right around the corner. What you're praying for is a long life, and it's about to end. So what happened? The Spirit then what does what?
But the Spirit itself makes intercession.
Intercedes on our behalf.
For us.
With groaning.
Which cannot be uttered.
Which what?
Which cannot be uttered.
See, God has a language that only the Spirit can interpretate. Only the Spirit can give God what the Spirit dwells with us and tells God what we're trying to say. And we can't utter. So a man or woman cannot utter the prayer to God the Father, because God is a Spirit, and the Spirit, and we receive the Spirit in baptism. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter or see the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 3. Now that you know, the sinner don't have the Spirit, the reason he can't pray.
Amen.
So when he gonna get it? When he get baptized? What's gonna wash away his sins?
Blood.
When can he pray? Before baptism or after?
After.
Get up. Don't do it. Now you lay me down to sleep. Stop that. Just get up. Now you lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray to the Lord. That thing bounced right off the ceiling. Didn't go nowhere. Get up and get baptized.
Amen.
Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Then after that, the Lord then adds that sinner somewhere, that righteous person somewhere. He adds them to the church. Listen to the Bible now. In Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to what?
The church.
Daily, such as should be saved. So the saved are added to the church. If the saved are added to the church after baptism, the question, we say, well, how many churches are there? If one on every corner, is which one? Will any church do? Listen to the Bible now. In Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses number 4, verse 5. Ephesians 4:4. There he is.
There is one body.
One body.
And one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
One Lord. One faith.
One baptism.
And
one God.
Let's go
and
up. You see
all.
The screen, right? One. Say it with me. One God. One.
Father.
One. Okay, the words from the bottom. God, baptism, faith. When I say one, you say that. Okay, y'all with me? One
body.
Now, body from the bottom to the top. One God. One
baptism.
One
faith.
One
Lord.
One
hope.
One
spirit.
One
body.
The God on the bottom is the Father who gave the Son. Baptism, you can have 10 wrong ones and only one right one.
Amen.
The faith is the Bible. The Lord is Jesus. The hope is heaven, not hell, I hope. Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and the people don't know about the body, because we want a body here, a body everywhere, a body, body. It don't matter which body, as long as you're in a body. We don't even think like that when it comes to our body. My body belongs to my head. Christ is the head of the body. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 tell us this.
And has put all,
and put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church,
which is his body.
The church is his what?
Body.
Y'all see that? So if the church is his body and the body is his church, then if he says one body on page 4, he had already told him on page 1 of the letter that the body means church. So now if I believe body means church from chapter 1, then when I get to chapter 4, I don't have to say it no more. I can say body or I can say church. Paul chose to say body. So he, when you say body, he's saying church. So if there's one body, that means there's one
church.
And the Lord added to the church. So our question in America and the world is, which one? Which church is it? Well, the one faith has all the information. That's the Bible. It tells about the one God. It tells about the one Jesus. It tells about the one Holy Spirit. It tells about the one baptism. You think God would leave the one church out of the information? I don't think he would. Listen to the Bible in Romans chapter 16 and 16. The Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss.
The churches of Christ salute you.
Hold on now. Hold on. What kind of Bible is that? Okay. That's King James. Okay, let me see. Now, when I was going, we read King James growing up too. Let me see. They said, salute one another, holy
salute
kiss.
Salute one another with a holy kiss. The
and
churches.
The Catholic.
The churches of Christ.
The Baptist.
The churches of Christ.
Well, that one ain't working. What you always say? Methodist. What you always say? Mike said it so meek and mild. He said, the churches of Christ. He's such a humble man. Mike could have said it with a little oof on it, man. Mike said, salute one another. Holy Ghost, the churches of Christ. Bro, stop. Can you say what it said with some power?
The churches of Christ.
Say it with me, y'all. The one in the Bible is called the churches of Christ. We ain't ashamed. We ain't got nothing to apologize for. The people need to know. It's called the church of Christ. Say it with me.
The church of Christ.
The Lord added to save to the church of Christ. There is one church.
Amen.
There is one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one church.
Amen.
So should I apologize? No. You know, folks, Brother Brooke, don't say that. You're going to offend. No, what offends is truth.
Amen.
When you don't want to believe it, you're not offended. When you want it, you want to go to heaven, you believe what the book says.
The churches of Christ.
Salute you. That's it. That's the one church. Now, let me see. Here's a plan. How many of y'all love blessings?
Amen.
Say amen to me.
Amen.
I love to know God is working in my life. Here come the blessing. And it may not be anyone in this audience, but it may be one person. In John 4:23, Jesus said, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship who?
The Father.
Not Jesus. The world has forgot that the Father watched them do it to him, and everybody going to face God the Father. At the end of the day, you better be wearing the Son's name because you're going to deal with Daddy. In worship, we worship the Father
in spirit and in truth.
For the Father
seeketh such.
So here it is. Look, God, you trying to pray to God. I don't listen to you because you're a sinner. You haven't decided to obey me. So, you know, I'm not hearing you, but I see you thinking. I see you see your life as a shambles. You're trying to get off them drugs. You're trying to get off that street. You're trying to get your life back together. You're trying to get your home together. You're trying to get your marriage together. You're trying, but you got all this sin in your life. You got all this sin, but I see today is a different day for you. I can see in your mind without you praying for me, to me, that you looking for true worship, aren't you? Huh? I see that. You know what? Only time I'm going to seek you, when I know you seeking the truth. When you're seeking the truth, then I seek you.
Amen. For the Father seeketh such to
when
worship
you
him.
Seek to be a true worship, God responds to you. The question is he responding to you? Because he responds for one of the, he responds when you're seeking to be a true worshiper. But he know your birth date, he know your death date, and he know your pain you're going through right now. And so God is saying, you want some relief? I see you here for the right reason this time. That's how you meet Brooks. Your blessing is, whoever invited you here, God used them to get you here because you're seeking to be a true worshiper. You say, well, Brother Brooks, that's me. It is. This is your day.
Amen.
Man, this it's one thing when you're looking for God. It's a whole nother thing when God turns and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to bring you out of your issues. I got you. But you serve whoever you obey. You ready to obey me now? How do you do that? You got to hear the preacher talk the gospel to you. That's number one. Number two, you got to believe what the preacher preached to you.
Amen.
Because faith come by hearing, not by seeing, son. Number three, you got to repent. You got to make a decision today. You don't want to leave like you can. Number four, you got to confess before me and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Number five, you got to be buried with my son in baptism, and you got to get washed with the blood of the Lamb. And when your sins are washed away, I'm going to give you my spirit, and then we have a relationship. And then you're added to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. The son's name is my name. It's the name that's on the church. Who here want that? They're members of the church. This applies to you too.
Amen.
You can't be baptized today and go back out there and live like you want to live. You know, you got to be coming here every week trying to drink this cup. I tell people all the time, he said, drink ye all. I try to suck the bottom out of the cup because we need the blood.
Amen.
The blood is the only thing going to keep us saved. You got to get washed in the blood. You got to be in the blood purchase church, and you got to drink blood every week. That keeps the disease in remission.
Amen.
Chemotherapy is baptism. Weekly worship is how you keep the thing in remission.
Amen.
You got to keep drinking that blood. Keep taking your medication. Well, sometimes we get beat up and scarred in life, don't we? Life is tough, isn't it, y'all? Yeah. Life is tough, boy. I tell you what, life is tough, man. You be trying to, you running this race, and all of a sudden, bang, down you go. You got to get back up and start running again. Life will send you tragedy. Life will send you trauma. Life will send you trials and tribulation. Life will send you sicknesses and death and pain and sorrow. Life will send all this stuff to us. I'm reminded as I close of a man who's auctioning off an old violin. That violin was dirty, beat up, scarred. And the auctioneer was trying to auction it, his old violin. He said, we're trying to get rid of the old violin. Who will give us 100? Nobody. Who will give us 50? Nobody. Who will give us 30? Nobody. Who will give us 10? Nobody. And man, how old I been? Hold up, Mr. Auctioneer. Can I see the violin? He said, what you want? He said, you see, I'm a master violinist. I just want to see the violin. And he took his tie. And the master violinist
start. He's looking at him with the tear running down the eye. The old violin was beat up and scarred. And he started wiping the dirt off of it, cleaning it up, started shining again. Then the master violin took the violin and put it on his shoulder and started strumming the strings on the old violin. And the music sounded like birds singing, angels singing. And the audience was in awe of the music, the melody from the old violin. And he put it down. And somebody from back said, I'll give 1,000. He said, I got 1,000. Somebody else, 2,000. I'll give 3,000. He said, 3,000. Going once, twice, sold for 3,000. And I said, what happened? He said, ladies and gentlemen, all I can say is that old violin was touched by the master's hand.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I've been beat up and scarred in life.
Amen.
Troubled in life.
Amen.
That was a day, though, when I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. And I felt like that old violin. But I've been touched today by the master's hand.
Amen.
Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing.
Nothing. But the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Who want to be washed this morning? Amen. Who want to be touched? Members of the church, you've been out there living. Won't you come home?
Amen.
That's why we have a friend and family. This ain't for fun. We want you to come home.
Amen.
We want you to come back. Repent. Confess your sin. Come back, members. Come back and drink your blood every week. Get that disease back in remission. It's going to kill you. You need to come to worship. You need to be here every week. You need to repent today. What you say? What I got to do, brother? Come down here. Say, brother, I have sin. I'm coming home. We don't care what you've been doing. Sin is sin. We just want you to confess like God said do. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Once you confess your sins, he's just to forgive. You got to confess. Then that's for members of the church. And then some of you just need prayer. You've been beat up and banged, but you already been touched. You know God going to get you through, don't you? Just come on, Lord. We're going to pray with you. Read it on the card. Come down to it. Make it on. No, tell us what you want. We're going to pray with you. Pray for you. And then to the visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ, I have been talking directly to you.
Amen.
Yes, I have. Because if they're saved in the Church of Christ and you are not in the Church of Christ, you're either mad at me right now or you're thankful you finally found the truth. And if you finally found the truth because you were seeking truth, it's because God is responding in your life. He's responding because you're going through something. He's responding because you need him. And God is calling you this morning. Jesus saying, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Wouldn't you come as together we stand and sing this song of encouragement?
Amen.